Thank you for coming today. My name is Katie Miller. I represent part of the church outreach team at Apostolic Christian Counseling and Family Services. I work part-time there, and I get to do some teaching, such as about what you're going to see. And I do a lot of remote work from home with publications editing. So it's an honor to be here. I see how beautiful it is out there, and there's many ways you could have chosen to spend your Saturday, and yet you chose to spend it with your church family. Maybe you didn't know what you're signing up for. Maybe you did. Regardless, thank you so much for blessing us with your time. So greatly appreciated. The breakout description. Aren't you glad we print name tags? Because some of you are like, I don't know what I signed up for. So there you go. That's why you have a name tag with that on there. Discipleship in the everyday. Spectacular aha moments are the aim of discipleship, right? The reality is that most of life can be fairly mundane. Faithfulness in the workplace, parenting, campus, and other common areas of life have the potential to bear the fruit of discipleship as well. In this breakout, we will consider how to approach our everyday with the lens of discipleship. That was the website description that you either clicked on or someone clicked on for you. And that is my goal in the next about 30 to 35 minutes before you leave. What does discipleship in the everyday look like? And how does that fit your life? And how does that fit your life? Using the scripture of Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, it says in the KJV version, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in them. There's key words that speak to me in this scripture. Words like workmanship. Some other versions use the word masterpiece. More words like before ordained, that we should walk in them. This is one of those things that's not a commandment in Scripture, but it's a principle, right? A principle of workmanship, a principle of before ordained, and that we should walk in them. The Amplified Version, a brother brought to light recently, thinking through some of this content, actually uses the wording, it's already out there, right? It says beforehand so that we could walk in them, which he prearranged and made ready for us. Now, regardless of what version speaks to you there, what I do see Scripture saying is that he wants us to fulfill what discipleship looks like. He cares that we do it, and he's calling us to it. He's gone ahead of us to help us do discipleship, be a disciple, okay? Workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, he's ordained it that we should walk in them. We should attempt, we should try. He's calling us to that. He's calling us to that. Each of these objectives, thinking about a lens of discipleship, thinking about some intentionality and opportunities of discipleship, and then abiding in Jesus throughout the everyday are some of the key pieces in the next few minutes I'm going to talk through. There's other breakouts you'll see today that are going to maybe do a little bit deeper dive into some of these areas. So for sake of the other brothers and sisters that are going to talk about some of these areas, there's going to be several of these that I'll talk about at kind of a surface level, and then some that I'll go deeper into, okay? The everyday was the key title in this breakout, though. So before you leave today, I want you to be thinking, wow, okay, everyday discipleship, discipleship in the everyday. What does that look like? Some of us know what that word discipleship is. Some of us do not. But all of us can identify as living as a believer in a sanctified life. So framing discipleship, living as a believer and living a sanctified life, well, I can do that. I can try to do that. Some of you have been baptized and have been living believing lives and sanctified lives for a long time. Some of us are newer at it, right? So discipleship being framed in whatever lens we view it as, identify living as a believer and living a sanctified life through those three. Let's start with the lens of discipleship. You are actually doing discipleship. If you came here thinking, I'm going to learn a new skill, I'm going to learn a new content today, right? Maybe. Maybe you'll learn new vocabulary that you're already doing. As a believer, living our sanctified life looks like living as a disciple. Arlen framed it up at the very end there. He talked about the definition we at ACCFS use is learning to live like Jesus did and helping others do the same. Okay? Learning to live like Jesus did and helping others do the same. Most of you in here would be like, okay, I can do that. I can learn to live like Jesus did. Isn't that what being a believer, being a born-again believer looks like? Repenting and then committing and then changing and going towards that? Absolutely, I can do that. So if that definition of discipleship is true, learning to live as Jesus did and helping others do the same, then scripture like John 13:15, for I've given you an example that you should do as I have done. That makes sense to us, giving us an example. Or 1 John 4:7, loving one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God. There's many other principles. Maybe some scripture is speaking to you right now that mean and do talk of discipleship, learning to live as Jesus did and helping others do the same. We are called to do that. Discipleship can be a lifestyle choice, okay? The first bullet up there talks about the everyday. It can be a lifestyle choice, a foundation of thinking and interacting with our daily to-do and jobs. Everyday events. So I see both genders represented here. I see multiple generations represented here. Be thinking through, as I give some examples that resonate with me, be thinking through your personal examples. What does that look like? How we live life and our everyday tasks actually has a piece of formation towards our discipleship, towards our everyday discipleship. Engaging in our lives and others. What does that look like? If that's the everyday piece, what does bullet two then mean? It's called in the way. We have great scripture and great examples, and I'm very thankful scripture speaks to that, of how Jesus taught the first 12. Great examples. If you can think to some scriptural examples, I would love for you to share what were some ways that Jesus, with those first 12, as he lived life, as he did his daily tasks, taught the disciples about spiritual things or about what to be about or how to love others. Can anybody think of an example from scripture from those early days of how Jesus illustrated some of that? Yes?
Washing feet.
Okay. He said, love your brothers as much as this and be the least. And he would wash their feet. Absolutely. What other daily tasks would he do that showed and gave us a great illustration of tasks done as he lived life? Yes, Lenny. Go out and pray. Throughout the day, throughout the morning, scripture gives a couple examples of time where he would pull apart and do that, absolutely. So he was living life, he was doing everyday life, and then he would also pray during that time, okay? Any other examples? Yeah. Yeah. There are great examples with his first 12 from point A to point B. He didn't say, okay, we're going to now go from point A to point B. I have here to go, Samaria. You think of all the examples, right? They're constantly walking. And some of those lessons he taught his disciples happened as he needed to get from point A to point B. That gives me heart as a 45-year-old mother who has a lot of different activities and things going, that I can, from point A to point B, speak to not just myself, but to others around me in a discipleship way. Absolutely. In the way discipleship, right? It's not like in the way, meaning like I don't like it. It's in the way. It's I am doing life in the way of discipleship. Okay. Is there any other examples of scripture that you can think of? Yes.
Serving others.
Okay. Does one specifically come to mind? No? I think of the one where he's challenging the disciples to, you know, go the extra mile. Roman soldiers, turning your cheek. Right? First is last, last is first concept. Right? Those scriptures, those illustrations of discipleship and formative principles happened a lot of times to show those 12, hey, this is what maybe the law used to say. Here's what I'm asking you to now do. Here's the heart behind it. Here's what I want you to think about as you're living life and you're doing the everyday. Any other examples? Can you think of? Yes.
When he was on his way to help.
The needs were so great that one need led to another need, and taking care of the everyday, that seemed hard, right? But he was able to model and show his disciples that there's going to be needs and kind of how to prioritize and to work through each of those. That's a great example. The woman at the well, right? They were on their way through. He had a need. He had to meet her. He knew there was a great need there, right? The disciples weren't quite sure, like, why? It's midday. Why are we here? And yet he illustrated them the everyday peace of serving, to his example in the back, and loving. I am thankful for scripture that shows the everyday. Because it shows my everyday that actually I can do this, right? I can do this. Another piece I love about that in the way discipleship is he met those disciples. If you think of where each of them was called, and the next time you read this in scripture, I would challenge you to put yourself in that disciple's foot. It wasn't a spectacular moment lots of times. Some of them were, okay? Some of them he had to really dig deep to show Peter, like, I am who I say I am, and this is what I'm about to do. But he met them. Did he meet them in synagogue? Did he meet them in a spectacular epiphany, top of the mountain experience? Not a lot of times. He met them where they were at. He met them exactly in their everyday. That gives me encouragement and hope as well. Like, he will meet us in our everyday, wherever we're at, to create formation, to create an encouraging, to create a challenge. I love that about those 12 men. I love that. He met them where they were at. Sometimes it was spectacular, but oftentimes it was not. Everyday discipleship. The mundane is not boring. What does that mean? The mundane is not boring. That means, I think, we are living in a culture where unless it's fancy, spectacular, there's a lot of likes, social media feed is reeling, right? Things go viral. There's something about it that it's got to be like, wow. I actually don't think that. I think if you look back at those early 12, and especially the early church potentially in Acts, I think there was a lot of like, boring. Now, don't get me wrong. We love reading scripture and we love the spectacular. I love reading about the miracles of Jesus, so I don't want to undersell that. There is something spectacular about that. Scripture speaks to that. But I would be willing to bet some of those early church members, those early disciples, I wonder if it kind of got boring walking from place to place and like, ugh, another need. Ugh. I don't know. Do you ever kind of get that as a believer? That really, is this what life is? We're just kind of like plodding through task after task, work, job after job. I don't think that's boring, right? The mundane, if it feels step by step, day by day, that's okay. Don't let culture speak and vocabulary apply to your spiritual formation, because sometimes it's just the day to day. If you look at that Acts, those early believers, there were some early callings. There was some early like wrestlings, like who do we trust? Who do we not trust? We're building a church. This is big. Wow, what happened? He said it was going to happen. We didn't see it coming, and now it came. And then he left us, and we have the Holy Spirit, and we're feeling that. So there was an excitement. But I bet there was a lot of like, okay, we're going to keep doing this until he tells us different, until the Spirit moves. And maybe that was boring, and maybe it was ordinary. Another good word is ordinary. Right? Don't let culture speak of it's got to be flashy and it's got to be expensive and it's got to be all over social media. Don't let that apply to what discipleship looks like for you. That's okay. Okay? That's okay. And then manage expectations. Manage expectations. So the everyday, the in the way concept, and managing expectations. What do I mean by that? When I think about how I want discipleship to look, it's a lot like how I want life to look. I want life to look, let's see if it click forward. There we go. I want it to be effortless. I want it to be enjoyable. I want it to be participatory, like, oh, I like it, so someone else should like it. And I want it to be perfect. I want it to be perfect. And some of us in here, your personality types are just like, Katie, not going to do it until I know I can master it. If that's you, that's okay, because that's me too. But the way it is with discipleship is not effortless, is not enjoyable, it's not always participatory, and it certainly doesn't look perfect. Our human nature wants our spiritual lives to just be natural, right? We repented, we have the Spirit, this is a great start and a great commitment, now it just is going to happen. It's going to happen. Most of us as believers would attest our faith or our spiritual formation actually grows the deepest when something is not effortless, when something is not enjoyable, when it's not participatory and it's not perfect. So think about that. The way it usually is in discipleship, it's worked at. You have to think about it. It's discipleship in the everyday, but there's an intentional piece there. It's tolerated. I'll speak to several sections of our life here in a minute, and you'll figure out very quickly which one is a good tolerated section of discipleship. It's compelled. Sometimes it's forced. Sometimes I have to think about discipleship, whether personal or people. I'll talk about that also in a minute, and what that looks like. And it's going to be flawed. It's not going to be perfect. So if I can encourage any hearts in here, if you're waiting for that perfect relationship or that personal abiding to be perfect, and then you'll think about discipleship more at an intentional level, I don't know on this side of the grave if that's going to happen, okay? Don't wait till it's perfect. Christ gave us those 12 men as an example. They were not perfect. Even when he died, resurrected, and ascended, they were not perfect. Their discipleship had looked a lot different after they lost the physical piece of Jesus by their side. Managing our expectations of discipleship and framing it through a realistic lens can be the first step. Now, to frame it through a realistic lens, you have to know what area of discipleship fits best for you. You have to know where you're at in that journey. And there's probably, I don't know, 30, 35 of you here in this room. I bet there's 35 different answers to that. Okay, so the lens of discipleship, the everyday, the in the way, mundane is not boring, and managing expectations of what that looks like. Intentionality and opportunities. So if I'm going to do this discipleship thing, Katie, and I'm going to do it every day, what does that look like? Well, you need to think about your specific life, your specific journey as a believer, and what that looks like for you on an everyday opportunity. Some of you are in the workplace, okay? How do I view my purpose at work? How do I view my purpose at work? Is it a paycheck? Is it like something I love to do? I'm living the dream? Is it something like, if I could get another job, right? How do you view intentionally your everyday of work or your career? Is it carrying out the basic tasks? Do you ever think about your work as like, I'm actually here in a forced, a little bit compelled discipleship space to show as a sanctified believer that I show up on time, that I turn the other cheek, that I don't engage someone who maybe is at angst with me, that my yay is yay and my nay is nay. Do you ever think about that at a workplace setting? Because I guarantee you, with culture pushing in on some of the things Isaac talked about be your own person and do your own thing, and that's going to strike a big, big difference to people viewing your life as a believer. What does work and that opportunity already built into our everyday, what does that look like for you? Okay? Parenting. Remember we talked about the tolerated part, that section? If you're a parent or a grandparent in here, that is the front lines in my mind of discipleship. I used to wear a shirt and I wore it out so much because I wore it all the time, that says I was raising tiny disciples, and I firmly believe that. like that next generation, if I can't invest, love, intentionally disciple my own children, every other relationship, right? They are the front line for the generational peace. That is the front line of parenting. Is it forced? Is it compelled? I do not think it's a coincidence that the word discipleship, disciple, and discipline all have the same root, right? It is hard to teach kids to share and to talk about tech use and being a good friend, right? All of us went through this as parents and grandparents. It looks different maybe today in 2025. But parenting is a front line of discipleship. It is very much worked at. Another opportunity, if you're in the campus space or the college space here, I love that space. I have great formulative, that's where I found Jesus. There is a lot of opportunities at that age of freedom and flexibility to create some habits, good habits. Bad habits too, but mostly good habits can be created there. Because you do have the flexibility of choosing a part-time job or choosing your career path and what that looks like. The campus area or the college young professional time period is a great period, an opportunity for discipleship to happen, personally and relationally. Framework of mundane. I spoke to that again. Being available, let's talk about that one. All of us have 24 hours in a day. Some of us wish we could change that. But we all get to pick and choose how we spend our 24 hours and what that looks like on a personal level with Jesus and then also people level, a relational level. Being available is going to look different at different stages of life. So the variety of ages in here could definitely speak to it likely better than I. But when you're a college student, being available for discipleship is going to look different than when you're a 40-year-old parent, a 60-year-old grandparent, a retiree, right? So before I get too specific with examples, just realize being available at different seasons in life does not mean everything is expected through those seasons. I would say that. I would encourage that. So opportunities could present themselves and being available. What does that look like? I find myself with being available and diligence as a baseline for rhythms of life. With opportunities, a lot of times I believe it's a posture. And what do I mean by posture? By posture, I mean, am I willing to invest in a relationship at work, church, any of the opportunities that present itself on an everyday basis? Am I willing to invest with a posture to learn? Am I curious about the person? Am I listening? Am I listening to love and listening to be curious and not listening to correct? There's a difference there with relationships. Diligence is a baseline for many rhythms of life. So am I learning to listen? Am I learning to love in the workplace? Am I learning to listen? Am I learning to love with parenting? That one's harder because I'd rather just fix the situation and discipline and move on. Am I learning to love and learning to listen in the campus environment? Just think through your everyday, and is your posture learning to listen, listen with a posture of curiosity, and listening with a desire to understand? If you think of those 12 men that Christ talked to and called early on, he would ask a question. It's always fascinating because I'm always like, but he already knew the answer. But he asked the question. Why'd he ask the question? Well, he asked the question because he was modeling for them an intentionality, a desire to learn, a posture of listening. He would ask a question often, and then he would wait for their answer, and then he would, like, ask another question, right? That posture that Christ modeled for us about the desire to learn and the desire to be curious in a discipleship space and an everyday space is really, really key. Being available, a lot of us love talking about the word boundaries and when things should happen and shouldn't happen and can I fit it in my everyday. I'm not saying you should be available 24/7 to different relationships and that mundane means always available. No, that's not what I'm saying. I am just saying remember being available is something that potentially is going to be compelled, is going to be worked at, is going to be tolerated, but not necessarily to prevent healthy boundaries for yourself, right? Just be careful with that. Before I go on from this slide, I think because of the age difference, any intentional opportunities or just everyday pieces that kind of came to mind as I was talking here about some of these variety of areas. I definitely didn't talk about all of them, but I gave you a glimpse into a few. Any other suggestions or thoughts that kind of stirred your heart and mind as far as what opportunities and intentionalities look like on a day-to-day basis here? And so I heard a posture of, he shared raising children versus maybe getting a task done or so forth. Like their hearts and your parenting was the primary versus getting the task done. It's a great convicting reminder. Yes. That's a great example. And that would be in the parenting space, the parenting intentionality of the everyday. I'm still raising children. They're not yet. I can identify with that, Sarah. I appreciate you sharing. I have to remember she's six. She's not 16. She's not a young adult. Like, I have to expect six-year-old, like, expectations, managing my expectation when I'm parenting her. Yeah, that's sweet. That's precious. Any other simple examples? It can be as ambiguous or as specific. Yes, Lenny. What does that take in order to, like, you can distance and stay away from it, and you can also, like, you don't have to engage it, but it takes a really confident, like, I'm going to say that's not very kind. You almost have to put, like, a parent hat, right? Like, to adults, yeah. But that changes the trajectory, like, not just yourself get caught up in it or feed it. Yeah, right. And that just shows a discipleship space of, this is not a principle I'm going to go towards. It's something that I don't appreciate and or, you know, God doesn't want us to use. And that's really powerful. People do try their best I do say that a lot. People do what they have been modeled and or the best they can do with what they've been shown and given. And sometimes it hasn't been the best. So to show a model or show a discipleship space that is different than what they're used to at home or in other workplaces is powerful. It's very powerful. Great workplace example. Any others you want to share before we move on? That's powerful. Thank you for sharing that. Being available, intentionality doesn't mean like, who's ready for a conversation? Who needs help? Where's the need, right? It's just like having a posture of like, I wonder what, Lord, you're going to present today and what that looks like. I greatly appreciate it. I have a brother mentor in my life who speaks well into that. So do you see what even just those three examples just did? The everyday discipleship. I can do this. You're doing this. You're sensing it as believers, okay? Discipleship in the everyday. For time's sake, let's move on. The last slide there then on your handout, abiding in Jesus throughout the day. And this is an area where there's going to be some other breakouts that talk a little bit more on potentially some of these if you're signed up for Rule of Life. That we'll talk about it, emotional awareness with Kathy over there. We'll talk a little bit more about this. I want to encourage you that our personal abiding affects our people abiding. Our personal abiding affects our people abiding. If you came here today to think, oh, there's a discipleship event, I bet it's talking about helping people, you're not really wrong. But it's also not all of what discipleship is. Our personal abiding is going to affect, A-F-F-E-C-T, our people abiding. Personal abiding looks like this for myself. So maybe you can relate. I ask myself the questions like, what is my joy right now? What gives me purpose? What gives me excitement? What is my angst? What keeps me up at night? Or what's the first thing on my mind when I wake up and the last thing before I go to bed? What scriptures are speaking to me right now? What is my gratitude? If you're in a hard spot in life right now and you're here, thank you. This probably wasn't an easy yes today. There is gratitude to be found even in the hard. What does that look like? What principles are hard for me to understand, and how do I incorporate these into my daily tasks? I always tell people, I do a lot of great thinking when I'm mowing. I love mowing. I used to mow when I was in Iowa. I had an FFA project. It was mowing. And now I'm realizing, like, wow, I had no idea back then. It wasn't spiritual thoughts that were happening. But I love, like, my mowing time. In fact, I really need my kids to start mowing. My son is not quite old enough. He needs a little more weight to get on the mower. But I'm going to miss that time once I teach him to do it. I love it. It just, I don't listen to a podcast because I can't hear it. I just, it's quiet. I see the community. Somebody walks by. It just, it's a time to just be, think through my thoughts, think through my ugly, think through my hard. It's a time of just personal reflection. What is it for you? Is it doing dishes? Is it walking? Is it some kind of repeated task? What do you do? What does that look like for you in your everyday? Now, I don't mow every day. I shouldn't say that. It's like weekly. There you go. Folding laundry. Yes, that is actually one. Hanging up laundry. Folding laundry. Putting away laundry. You name it. There are tasks you do. Driving. Drive time is a great time to think about that in a personal abiding moment. Then how does that translate to people abiding? Do you ever find yourself like, I wonder how they are? I should probably text that person. Surgery happened. I think it went well, but I know how my surgery went last. I don't know. There's just some things. You're kind of immobile for a little bit. There's a cultural awareness to engage and create those opportunities of both personal abiding and people abiding, whether it's in daily tasks, weekly tasks, routine events. What does that look like? We in our people abiding in our church culture have a lot of built-in beautiful things. We have church lunch every week. We have things like church potlucks. We have men's and women's groups, right? We have actually built-in everyday abiding structures within our beautiful denomination. Knowing to care, what does that mean? Brother once taught me the power, and I'll go back to a little bit of what Christ called it. Christ didn't call it the power of the second question, but this brother that I've come to know and love calls it the power of the second question. There's oftentimes you enter into a relational, now this is people abiding, a relational conversation, and the question is very much at, like, how was your week? Fine. How you doing? Fine. Right? We stay very up here. The weather, fine. Beautiful day, fine. Fine. Surface. What made your week so great? Oh, the power of the second question. The power of the second question. Now, knowing to care with that power of the second question. Don't ask that question if you don't care. Have you found that sometimes? You're like, ooh, wow, wasn't expecting that one. But sometimes the power of the second question shows an intentionality and opportunity in everyday discipleship that is powerful. That power of the second question can be the bright spot in somebody's day, whether it's at work, whether it's on campus, whether it's at a volunteer opportunity. That can be the life, that can be the trajectory changer of, like, that person, that believer, she asked, like, she cared. It wasn't just, how you doing? Fine. Now, you see somebody in a supermarket, you're not going to have a 30, you know, second question conversation on, like, God image, right? So you got to place it well. The power of the second question can be the difference between I acknowledge you and I care about you. Christ acknowledged a lot of people, but that second question usually went deeper. God can speak in the busy, but he's often louder in the quiet. How often do you personally get quiet? Can you get in a car and not listen to anything? I've been challenged about that recently. Because if I'm in a car with no kids, no carpooling, no responsibilities, I'm like, catch up on this podcast. I need to call my aunt in Arizona. Whew, I got to, like, think things, take off my... Can I just, like, sit and listen and be quiet? Can I? God can speak in the busy, but more often is louder in the quiet. Our rhythms are different, potentially. Our disciplines are the same, and to be okay with that. I got to witness discipleship. We didn't call it that. about 23 years ago when I moved as a small town girl from Iowa to Gridley, Illinois, only knowing one family. I met and was blessed with a friend in the campus setting. I had graduated from college, moved to Central Illinois on a leap of faith and an open window. And they didn't call it discipleship back then, but it definitely was. I met a friend who introduced me to her family who lived in Bloomington. This family was very much instrumental in helping Katie Kellenberger figure out some things in life, figure out God image, figure out some hurt, figure out some self-worth. They were very kind when I couldn't find a teaching job and let me do laundry at their house and provided dinners countless for me. They lived life. They lived life, and they showed me living life. And they always called me kind of the Tasmanian devil. I would whirl in and set my laundry down and whoo-hoo-hoo and unload on my substitute day, and then I'd whirl out. And they loved me through that whirling. And I think back to the person I was 23 years ago, and I'm thankful they provided a safe space, a safe discipleship space. And when I think back and the questions they ask and the power of the second questions and how I would have an idea and say, God is leading me one way, they'd say, God doesn't lead through confusion, Katie. Are you sure that's how God is leading? I'd be like, ooh, well, maybe. Pause. Think. Their people discipleship came from their personal discipleship because their lives were touched decades before by personal discipleship and people discipleship. It wasn't a fancy vocabulary term. It was them living life as sanctified believers that helped touch others. And brothers and sisters, that is powerful. That is how life is lived. All of you likely have a story or have an example in your mind, as I just gave mine. Who is that in your life? Who can you be to somebody else? And what does personally abiding every day look like for people abiding every day? Don't make it complicated. Don't make it hard. You are doing it, and you can do it.